Okay, good evening and welcome to the Hipsit Podcast with me, Rabbi Simcha, and our co-host, Rebbetzin Sherry B. Say hello.
Shalom.
So we've been on a little bit of a hiatus in the Hipsit Podcast world. It's been a little bit of a difficult time, not to get into particulars, but for me, having a special needs child, there are complications and there are growing pains and there is puberty. So that's something we're going to get into at a later episode. And Sherry has been having some romantic situations. Would you like to enlighten the listeners?
I'm 37 years old and it's complicated.
Sherry is now single, so I am going to be opening my rabbinical Rolodex.
I said it's complicated.
It's always complicated, but my rabbinical Rolodex, Sherry, is open, and we're going to be launching a competition at the end of the podcast. Win a date with Sherry. Okay, Sherry, should we move on to the guest?
100%. Okay. I'm so excited about this guest.
So for the first time, we have taken the podcast on the road. We are not in the synagogue. We are not in the podcast studio. We are in the home of beloved synagogue congregant, Carmela Chapman. Say hello.
Hi, good evening.
Welcome to the Hipsit Podcast. Sherry, would you like to just to paint the picture? By the way, tonight's podcast has a very unique theme. We're going to be discussing four things. We're going to be discussing Judaism, rock and roll, casinos, and money. So, Sherry, for the listener, would you like to paint the picture of Carmela's apartment?
We're in a gorgeous two-level apartment, and it's got a kind of, I don't even know how to describe it because I'm looking at a picture of London, the great Jerusalem, and then a shrine, an Elvis shrine. All of these things. And it's funny because I understand this kind of English eccentricity. I'm a big fan of it. I'm all for it. And to just, you know, to see that, to be in that right now, it's just a wonderful feeling. But again,
it's a shrine to England, yeah, to Her Majesty the Queen, yeah, and to the King Elvis Presley. Yeah,
the Queen, the King, and the Rabbi. Yeah,
together.
And the Holy Land.
The Trinity.
All in one.
Okay, Carmela, just to explain for the listener, being an Englishman in New York can be a lonely existence. Until you came along, because every week at the Kiddush, no one gets my jokes, no one gets my shtick, and suddenly a couple of years ago, Carmela walks in, and I feel free at last. You are a fellow English woman in New York. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi again. Hi.
Okay, so Carmela, you have an amazing journey to Judaism. And by the way, this is season four. And season four, Sherry, we are celebrating the extraordinary within the ordinary. And we're celebrating the...
There's nothing ordinary about this.
Say that again. But we're celebrating... We're not going for the...
This is all extra.
We're not chasing the algorithm. By the way, on a serious point, Sherry, we did a podcast, season three, with Remy Tzippel, the rabbi from Utah, and it was a very serious subject matter. We spoke about Remy being the first rabbi to come out in the Me Too movement, and you said something after the podcast. You said to me, I wish we would have recorded the conversation after the conversation when the mic was not running. We spoke authentically and honestly. And what I want to do in season four, Sherry, is be authentic and be real. So with that, Carmela, extended yeah, intro. Welcome to the podcast. You have an amazing Jewish journey. I'd like to ask you for the list. By the way, we're drinking English tea. How's the tea, Sherry?
The tea is amazing. There is something in Jerusalem, like an Elvis restaurant in Jerusalem. Yeah. Okay, all right, we'll talk about that later. We'll get to that.
Your sugar in the tea is actually from that diner.
Okay, wow. Just remember that point and we'll circle back.
I'll give you
all one. Right, so don't trade authenticity for approval. That is season four. Carmela, would you like to explain, finally, your Jewish journey for the listeners?
Sure thing, yeah. Okay, so I was brought up with my mother. She was left an orphan at a young age. So even though she was from a Yiddish-speaking family, she lost her way, you know, with Yiddishkeit when she was left alone from the orphanage. And
were you aware that you were Jewish, or?
No, I was not aware when I was born. My mother was always aware that she was Jewish, but she just lost her way for many, many years. And no, I wasn't aware.
She kept that on the down low.
Yeah. So yeah, she didn't mention because we lived in a trailer, you know, in a caravan in a place called Chatham, near Chatham anyway, in Kent in England. And there wasn't any Jewish people there at all. And I went to, you know, Christian schools.
So the two of you were in a single trailer.
Correct. Yeah.
No bathroom.
No bathroom. No. We did have electricity actually after the first year. It was just candles. Wow. And then there's no running water and no bathroom. Yeah.
Oh, sounds like Sherry.
Did you have any brothers or sisters?
No siblings.
So you grew up going to like a Catholic school?
Well, it wasn't Catholic, it's Church of England.
Okay.
Yeah, since Henry VIII, you know, it's the Church of England.
I'm going to get beheaded over here.
So I went to assembly and we learned all about JC, as they say, you know, Yoshki, JC. And so I was very well versed in that. And I got picked out to be in the choir.
Oh.
Of a church, you know, so it was a Roman Saxon church, like from 1080 something. And I used to go to choir practice on Friday night and actually sing in the choir on Sunday. So how my journey, it actually stemmed from that, because I used to wear a boys' black choir uniform and they ordered the girls' uniform, which was blue and white. And it finally arrived and I should have been really, really happy and excited. But I wasn't. I just felt like a bit of a void inside me. And I was very spiritual. I was about 6.5, 7 at the time. I was always talking to Hashem, always. And so when the uniform arrived, I was like, blah, you know. So I said to God, God, if the Jewish religion... Oh, hang on. I forgot to say something very, very important. Sorry. My mother had told me around 6.5 that I was Jewish. And I said, what does that mean? And she said it means you don't believe in Yoshki. That's all it meant. Right. That's all she told me. That's all it meant.
You're in the wrong school.
So when I used to go to choir, when I used to go to church and sing on Sundays and we had to kneel down and pray, I used to say, oh God, I'm only praying to you. I'm not praying to Yoshki.
What about, were you friends with other children in the caravan community?
Yes.
And they were going to the same schools?
Yes.
And they weren't Jewish? How many
Correct.
People were in this kind of caravan? Like,
oh,
because in America we call it a trailer park, so I don't
right,
know if
it's... Right, but it's a bit different over there. There was people that had money, that had very nice trailers, you know, caravans, and we didn't. we were there like the working class end of the caravan.
The lower park. End of the...
Yeah. But it's still there, that caravan site, actually. Well, yeah, I can show you a photo after. So anyway.
Uniform comes.
Yeah. So I said, God, if the Jewish religion is the right religion, could you please give me a sign?
Well.
And the sign is I'll go to a Jewish church. I didn't know it was called a shul or a synagogue at the time. So the sign was I'll go to a Jewish church within 2 weeks. So that's what I said. A few days later, this couple buys the caravan next to ours, Sid and Sadie Lewis, a much nicer one than we had. And they befriended my mother. They're obviously Jewish. And, you know, she couldn't understand what
they
we were doing there.
The fancy one, Sherry, with a bathroom.
Yeah, they had the bathroom. So, I don't know, that weekend she found a shul, which was Chatham Memorial Synagogue.
Wow.
It was like an independent shul. And we all trepsed there. We took two buses. And I remember arriving at Adon Olam because I remember the tune. And the story goes from there. As soon as I walked in, I felt at home.
Wow.
And this very nice gentleman called Avram Katzauer came over, gave my mum £5 to come back the following week.
Oh.
And he took me under my wing. He taught me how to read and write Hebrew and Rashi even. And there was a cheder there on Sunday. So I used to, you know, learn there. And, you know, when I got to about, and he used to pay for me to go to Lubavitch summer camps also. So when I got to about 11 and a half, 12, he said, you know, you shouldn't be living here. So he moved us to London and paid for my education at Lubavitch Girls' School. And that was the journey to London. Yeah, but before we moved there, I remember the two Chabadniks coming up to the caravan, and one was learning with me and one was talking to my mum, obviously making the arrangements to move, you know. So, yeah, so that's it. And
it's an amazing story. Yeah. It's amazing. Okay, Sherry, we have dealt with the king of the universe. We're now going to deal with the second part of the journey, the king of rock and roll. We are surrounded right now, Sherry, by Elvis memorabilia. Yeah. Carmela, what brought the king to Carmela?
To my home. Yeah. To my heart. Well, it's always been
there. By the way, great tea. How's the tea, Sherry?
The tea is great. Now that I know that it's from this Elvis restaurant in Jerusalem, which we'll get to, even better.
Yeah, it's even sweeter, right?
Is it Tetley or PG Tips?
It's Tetley.
Thank God for that.
Tetley decaf. Oh. Can't have caffeine after midday.
Six. Midday. Really? Okay, yeah. So what's the story of Elvis? What brought you to Elvis? And during our time together, you told me an incredible Jewish anecdotes to Elvis. Correct. Who knew? Apparently Elvis is Schmelvis.
Correct. Well, I always loved Elvis because my mum was an Elvis fan, so I was brought up on Elvis. And I only became aware of the Elvis tribute festival community like in 2012. Right. So I go around to all these Elvis festivals.
Right.
A few times a year.
The whole community.
Yeah. Yeah. I have great fun there.
And Elvis origin story.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
So Jewish...
I know I'm going to definitely tell you the... Yeah. I just want to say the Elvis festivals.
The Elvis community.
Recommend them because you can't...
Is there a name for the followers today? You call yourself...
Elvis fans.
Grateful Dead are deadheads.
No, we're just
Elvis fans are just Elvis fans. Correct, there's no term for
and
it.
And you'll always come back from an Elvis festival happy, not like some Jewish single event where you want to come home and slit your wrists. You'll always come home from an Elvis festival really upbeat and happy.
Beautiful.
Always. Yeah. So anyway, what's the Jewish connection? The origin of what?
Because we never really got to your first Elvis experience.
It's from my mum. You know, I was brought up on his records and films.
She's in the trailer and singing.
Yeah, always.
That's it.
She just was a fan. Like,
yeah,
she
and
was
a
50s
anyone
kid.
Anyone that's really exposed to Elvis in a big way will always become a fan.
There's a certain era, if you're a young person,
yeah,
he was like your Beatles and that was it.
Correct, yeah.
What do Jewish Elvis fans eat on Passover? Elvis parsley, like parsley. Anyway, moving on. Carmela, what's the Jewish Elvis connection?
Okay, so as I was saying, I read this book called Gladys and Elvis, and the author decided to concentrate on the matriarch, the mother's side anyway. So it goes all the way back to his great-great-grandmother, Nancy Badin. Was Jewish. She had Martha Tackett, who was Jewish. Martha had Octavia, who was Jewish, and Octavia had Gladys. So even though all their husbands weren't Jewish, the mothers were.
M.O.T.
And Gladys actually did tell Elvis that he had Jewish blood in him.
Wow. Elvis knew.
But not to say anything because they didn't like Jews in the South. So when she died, he actually put a Mogen David on her grave.
Wow.
Yeah. But then when he died, the father removed it and made a new grave without it. Yeah. But I also met one of Elvis's ex-girlfriends, and she's Jewish, Mindy Miller, and she was giving a speech in Vegas a couple of years ago saying that Elvis had some Jewish blood in him, and I called her over afterwards, and I said, actually, he's Jewish. And she said, yeah, I know, and so did he, and we used to discuss it in his bedroom.
So, Carmela, I got a question for you.
Another one.
I have over here, you didn't know this was coming, by the way.
Oh, okay.
A little quiz.
Okay.
We're going to find out how well Carmela really knows the king.
Oh, gosh.
You did not know this was coming, Carmela.
Oh, no.
Okay, I got a few questions. Yeah. Where was Elvis born?
Tupelo, Mississippi.
Correct. On what date, what year was he born?
The 8th of January, 1935.
Unbelievable. Okay. RCA Victor acquired his contract. The deal was arranged by whom?
Was it Sam Phillips or his Tom Parker?
Tom Parker. Correct.
From Sam Phillips, because he had the contract.
He knows even more than the quiz over here. Okay, in November 1956, he made his film debut in what movie?
Love Me Tender.
Correct. Unbelievable. Okay. Years of Oh, that's a little bit dark. I think we'll leave that. Okay, you know what? How old was he when he passed away?
He was 42, 16th of August, 1977.
Okay, she knows every question over here. Okay, you're the winner. Unbelievable. Okay, Sherry, are you ready to get to the meet the miracle of the podcast?
100%.
Because we promised the listeners, the loyal listeners, by the way, a roller coaster journey of Judaism, of rock and roll, and casinos.
Also, I mean, we're jumping around, but you're in London, graduated. What were you doing for work?
Oh, I was, I worked in a hospital for 5 years.
Hard news.
Mm-hmm. And then I worked in real estate, and I bought my own apartment when I was like 29. I moved to Hendon and I didn't know anyone there. So the first weekend that I was in Hendon, I thought I'll make a big pot of chullen and I'll go to the local alternative minion, which was for the singles. And so I went there and I met this young girl that was, a young girl, she was like 25. So she was there and she wasn't at all religious at all. She was just trying out the shawl for that weekend. So I invited her back for some chullen and another guy. And she really liked it. She thought I was cool and everything. So she came back the following week. And slowly, slowly, she became, you know, Shama Shabbos and everything. And I also made her Shidduch. So she's married now with two girls.
All right. While we're on the topic of love, by the way.
But then you went to New York.
Well, not yet.
We're getting there, Sherry. While we're talking about love, by the way.
Correct.
How many Shidduchim have you been involved with?
Yeah. 13 to 14.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, are you married? Have you ever been married?
No. I can't make my own shidduch, but I'm
Like, I'm making a shidduch to myself right now because I just want to be in an apartment like this surrounded by Elvis stuff. You know, like, I'm kind of, like, this whole marriage and kids thing, I'm kind of rethinking that being in this amazing place right now, I'll tell you the truth. So that might be my personal shidduch.
Tell you the truth, I'm thinking the same thing. Anyway, by the way, you've made 13, 14 shidduchim.
Yeah.
Sherry, newly
I'm working on it.
It's complicated.
I'm working
on
it.
I want to make a shidduch with real estate.
You got that neighbor that you brought to shul this week.
Yeah.
Off mic. He's cute, right? We can make a shidduch. He's a boxer, by the way, Sherry.
Did I not just say what my goals were?
Nobody does. He's actually a movie editor by day, boxer by night.
Okay, so this apartment, these bobbleheads.
He actually lives in this apartment building.
Okay.
What apartment?
Too much information.
We can knock on afterwards. Okay. Sherry, are you ready for the real miracle story?
100%.
Because Carmela has an incredible life journey. And a few years ago, we sat on my deck and we're having one of our barbecues. We're schmoozing. We're saying L'chaim. And Carmela drops the bomb of a story, okay? Bearing in mind, Carmela grew up without a toilet, working toilet.
You're really obsessed with this toilet thing. They figured it out. Obviously, she had a place to go to the bathroom. I mean, it wasn't, you know, like you're really fixating on this.
I am, but it's interesting that as Carmela progressed from trailer, Sherry has regressed to owning a trailer without a working toilet.
It's a recording studio in a trailer. You don't need one, but there are facilities nearby.
Every time we do a podcast, the guest has to schlep. The cop, by the way, little Skip's moved. So where does the guest go to the loo?
I don't know. We were only there for an hour.
Okay, we're working it out. Okay, the future guest, by the way. Anyway, go before. Okay, so Carmela, you told me an unbelievable story. Yeah. Bearing in mind how you grew up, and I'm from a very working class family. Yeah. We grew up extremely working class, and we were very, very protective. Every penny counts in England. And so you have an amazing, you came to America because you told me that in London, you kind of had dreams of coming to America, inspired by Elvis, going to Graceland, and suddenly you find yourself in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
You got to tell the story.
Okay. So I was living in a house with five girls and it was my birthday. It was 2003. It was like 6 months off. It was a year and a half after I moved here. And I said, well, I'd love to go to Las Vegas for my birthday. They said, oh, that's too far away, too expensive. Let's go to Atlantic City.
Right, do it on the cheap.
So I'd never heard of Atlantic City. I said, what's that? They said, oh, it's just like Las Vegas. And then when we arrived, I said, this is nothing like Las Vegas.
It's the Vegas of New Jersey.
Yeah, nothing like Las Vegas.
Exactly.
So we went gambling Saturday night. Nothing happened. We didn't win. Sunday.
By the way, the Hipsit podcast does not endorse... Do we endorse gambling?
We don't endorse gambling. And my recent ex has replaced me with sports gambling and lost $500 the other day. So there you go.
I just took a turn.
You got to speculate to accumulate. There you go.
Except we don't endorse gambling except for what comes next. All right, Carmela,
so,
take it away.
So on Sunday, we thought, you know what? Let's go for lunch
right.
at this kosher grill, Jerusalem Grill. It wasn't open, actually, but he saw these... There was four of us actually
right.
outside and he said, okay, I'll let you in. You know, so we went in, we started saying Tehillim around the table because we were doing this Tehillim group.
Wow.
For whatever. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, we're all praying for certain things. So my friend said to him, can you give us a bracha? He says, I don't know. Well, she says, no, we want your bracha.
Wow.
Every bracha is important. It could be powerful. You never know. That person's bracha could be the bracha.
The one.
The one, yeah. So he gave everyone a bracha to meet someone. And then it came to me and I said, I don't actually want a bracha for that. He says, smart. You know what? I'm going to give you a bracha. I must have been like anti-men at the time or something. So he said, okay.
Sure, he's nodding.
Yeah, I don't think anything's changed much. But anyway, he said, okay, may Hashem give you whatever you need right now. Okay, we had our meal. Thank you very much. So we were going to head back to New York. And one of my friends said, you know what? We didn't do a spiel in Caesars.
Oh.
I said, listen, I can't ask the girls. They want to go home. They're not really gamblers. If I ask, they're going to say, oh God, she's the gambler. They're not going to want to go. So she asked, they said, okay, let's all go back. Let's all put $5 together and go on a big Wheel of Fortune machine. So we did that. None of us won. We said, okay, we'll separate for half an hour. And we'll meet back. No. So two of my friends, actually there were five of us. Two of my friends went to the bar. One of my friends went to some other thing. And one of my friends went on Elvis machine. And I saw this Jeopardy machine. So I thought, you know what? I'll go on the end because someone said the end machines are always loose. And there was one woman like two seats away. And... So I put $5 in.
Last $5.
How long
did you have left in the country on a visa?
So I had, I think I had like about 4 to 5 days to pack up and go because my visas, right. I'd extended them and I had like a week or something and I had to pack up in 4 days or something. And I wasn't packing and my friends were saying, why aren't you packing? I said, I don't know. I just have a feeling that I'm meant to be here, like I was supposed to come because I came on a whim. You know, when I left England, I had a fantastic job. I owned my apartment, tons of friends. And just overnight, I said, I just want to be in America. So that's it. I just came just like that. Anyway, there was lots of reasons to stay there, but reasons kill possibilities. I love that saying. Yeah. So anyway, let's go back to slot machines. I put the $5 in. And immediately I won like 50 credits. It was a 25-cent slot machine.
You had to pull a lever?
Or press a button.
Right.
So it's 25 cents, and you always play the maximum to win the jackpot. So that maximum was 3 coins, that's 75 cents. So every time you press the button, 75 cents. So I pressed the button.
High roller.
Won 50 credits straight away. 50, 25-cent credits.
That's 50, 75 cents? 150?
No, it's 50... 50, 25 cents. So a quarter of 50 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do the math. Sherry.
So that's $15 or $17 or something like that.
Right. You won. Okay.
Yeah. So then I pressed it again and I won like 100 credits. Ooh. I thought, oh, you know
it's
what?
Hot. This one's hot.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? I had my coat on. I was standing up. I'll take my coat off and sit down.
Right.
So I pressed it again and then all these symbols came up all at once. And I thought, fast. And then the stop, the machine was going, you know, making all these sounds. I thought, what the heck is this? So I started looking at the machine, studying it, because I didn't know this machine. It said one coin, 1,000 credits, two coins, $1,000. I thought, oh, I've won $1,000. Wow. No, hold on. I put three credits in.
Not bad.
Maybe I won $4,000. So then the slot host comes over, this Indian guy, slot host. He says, oh, congratulations. I said, oh, thanks. I said, have what? I won $4,000? Oh, no, madam. I said, oh, I haven't. He went, no, you win much more than $4,000.
Get out of here.
Look up, look up. So it was a progressive slot. So you have to look up and all the numbers are...
And at this point, now, people are coming over?
Yeah, there's, by this time,
there's
people...
There's a battle again. There's a whole matchup.
So now people
okay.
are starting to crowd around. Wow. And I'm looking up, and I can't even see straight, actually. So all these numbers are merging into
Your friends
one
are coming over at this point?
No. So four. So I see some fours. I said, well, I won 14,000.
Wow.
He says, oh, no. You win more than that. I said, what? So I'm looking up. I said, if I won $40,000? And he starts laughing. I said, hold that machine. So... My friends were drinking at the like this coffee bar, so I quickly ran there. It's only like 30 seconds away.
Right.
I said, I've just won $40,000. They said, get out of here, Carmel. You probably won $4. I said, I'm telling you, come back with me, come. So they left their coffees, they came over.
I still like the anxiety of leaving the machine at this point.
No, because he's there and he's got the thing in there.
The Indian host is there.
So I go over there and I said, can you tell my friends I just won $40,000? He goes, but you didn't win 40. I said, oh, no, you've made a real ass of me. So he goes, no, you won $495,744.
And that was 2003 prices.
Just shy of half a million.
2003 real estate prices.
And I have to tell you, that news went round Borough Park within half an hour.
Suddenly, the Shidduch offers were flying in.
Well, only from the casino floor. Yeah, because
wow.
You're
getting offers on the spot.
Yeah, I said, oh, now I might be able to stay. I might be able to pay for a lawyer to get a green card.
Wow, that's a
miracle.
They're
going, actually, we'll marry you.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, so then the next day I was able to, you know, pay the services of a lawyer. And
but it's funny because there's still like a hardcore Atlantic City. Like you guys were there for fun, you know, and it wasn't, you're not like, hardcore gamblers.
I'm not endorsing spieling, but when the hand of Hashem is that obvious and that apparent, and the way and the structure that you grew up in and your life journey, I think it's an amazing, it's mamish anais. And you told me something else about the manager of the grill in Atlantic City.
Yeah. So after I won the money,
this, Sherry.
I called back the guy that gave us the bracha. I said, you'll never guess what. I said,
doubling the tip.
You gave me the bracha. I just won nearly $500,000. Wow. He went, are you kidding? I said, yeah. He goes, I can't believe it. So anyway, some guy from Borough Park heard about this story with the restaurant. He went down there 2 weeks later, got a bracha from him, won over $1,000,000 on the machine over there. Yeah. And that. So now this guy.
There is kind of something to it.
Yeah, so this guy now has like a big jar on his by the cash register, and people give money there for tzedakah, and he gives out brochures.
I wonder if I should do that and go to Atlantic City.
You could.
He's the Rebbe of the Spieler.
Yeah,
the Spieler
like
Rebbe.
He's Moroccan, and I think it's called the Jerusalem Grill in Ventura. Yeah.
Wow. And I know that you've done a lot of kindness, a lot of chesed. You help your family. You are always there for the synagogue. You're always sponsoring kiddushes, even with all my balagan and all my mishigas. And the best thing about Carmela, Sherry, is that you bring me kosher versions of the biscuits that I remember as a child in England. If I was to say Jaffa cakes to Sherry, what does that mean?
I'm sorry, that's over my head.
Carmela, explain a Jaffa cake.
It's like a spongy cookie with a layer of orange-flavored jam. Covered with chocolate. On
hobnobs. Explain hobnobs.
Oh, that's very hot. That's like a digestive biscuit with chocolate on the top.
Jammy Dodgers.
Explain this Elvis Cafe in Jerusalem.
Oh, the Elvis Diner. Yeah, I'm very well known there, actually. The owner actually wants me to bring an Elvis guy from America over to do a concert. That's a lot of hard work. But the whole diner is all dedicated to Elvis. I've never seen anything like it. And I've been to a lot of Elvis things all over the world. And this is like the best. The ceilings, the
what do
everything.
They serve? A falafel? Like,
yeah, they serve falafel. And
well, the best Elvis diner in the world is in Jerusalem.
Correct. It's just on the outskirts. Yeah.
Who knew?
I can show you stuff after. Yeah. I've got wine there, sugar, cups. Yeah.
Wow.
Napkins.
Have you met Priscilla?
I have.
Wow. Lisa Marie?
I've only seen her in concert. I haven't met her.
Wow.
Yeah.
See this? This is the real deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So as we wrap up the podcast, your life story is amazing. Truly miraculous. Very inspiring. I see the Yad of Hashem in your life very clearly. We want to give you a bracha. Hopefully we should unite the queen and the king under the chuppah very soon. By the way, where's next on the journey?
Next is Nashville at the beginning of
I was thinking
February.
Jerusalem, but
and no, then Memphis and then Jerusalem in April.
All right, so what
but then hopefully, you know, if hopefully Mashiach's going to come very soon and I'll be off to Israel.
Atlantic City. Oh, and Israel. Okay. So what can the listeners, the dear, gentle listeners, learn from Elvis? If we can learn Elvis. Something from the king, from the way that he lived his life, give us a life lesson from the king.
Uh-huh. Well, he was extremely generous. He gave a lot of charity, unbeknown to a lot of people. He gave a lot away. He was just a kind, kind person, and he respected everybody, no matter what color, race, age, you know. So we can learn a lot from that. Wow. And he was very spiritual, very.
So that's season four, Sherry. To be kind, to be spiritual,
and charitable.
To be charitable.
Yeah.
And that's the lesson of the king.
Yeah.
That's the lesson of Carmela. Thank you for coming on the Hipsit podcast.
Pleasure.
And you have been a blessing to me, to the community, to my family. I cherish our friendship. And I thank you for the tea. I thank you for the Jaffa cakes, for everything that you do. And just to let the gentle listeners know that we are starting a competition, win a date with Sherry B. If anyone would like to send in their shidduch resumes to me, rabbi@pratt.edu.
Attach your favorite Elvis song.
And a pic. Yeah. And shidduch resume. Sherry, we're going to leave you with the final word of season four of the Hipsid podcast. We're going to hand the mic over to Sherry B to close us out.
All right. This has been the Hipsid podcast brought to you by Rabbi Simcha and Sherry Barkley. If you like this podcast, please tell your friends, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Good night.
Later.